Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're looking in Luke chapter 17. We'll begin to look at verse number 11. If you possibly can, you'll get more from this study if you have your Bible ready. We're looking in Luke chapter 17, and as we've mentioned several times on this broadcast, we want to look at the information, then the interpretation, and of course, make the application. So just for information, let's read these first few verses. It says in verse 11, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Verse 11 says, "It came to pass." That phrase appears in the Bible 452 times. It came to pass. Everything that was supposed to happen did, and everything that God says is going to happen will come to pass. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, this could say, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee. But it says, the midst. It's interesting that that little phrase, the midst, is found in the book of Luke 7 times. It's in the Bible 350 times, in the book of Luke that we're studying here now, 7 times. I'll just give you those quickly. In Luke 2 and 46, we found Jesus as a 12-year-old. He was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Then in chapter 4 and verse number 30, we have the first time that Jesus preached, at least the first recorded message we have, that he preached at Nazareth, and they tried to kill him. They're going to throw him off a hill, it says. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. They had just said, well, show us a miracle. Well, okay, here's one. He just disappeared. Then in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 35, we read here that Jesus was in the synagogue. There was a demon-possessed man. And it says, when the devil had thrown him in the midst of them, the Lord commanded that the demon come out of him, and he did. Then in Luke 5 and number 19, there was the meeting that was going on with a bunch of big-shot elite Pharisees and scribes, and they were in the house, and there was a big crowd outside, but they couldn't get in. And there was 4 men who had a friend who needed to get to Jesus, and we read that they busted up the roof in Matthew chapter 5, and they let him down before Jesus, into the midst before Jesus, it says. Then in Luke 6 and 8, there was a man in the synagogue again, and it says he had a withered hand, and the Bible says that Jesus said, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst," and he arose and stood forth. Now, I don't know that if he had not done what he was commanded to do, he ever would have had his hand healed. Jesus said, "Stand up, make an open statement of who you're standing for here. You want to stand with these crazy, hypocritical, religious Pharisees? Then stay sitting down. You want to stand up? Stand up. Get it, come forth in the midst." That's all God expects from us today. And then in Luke 17 and verse number 11, as in our text here, it says he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then later we read in Luke 24 and verse number 36 that it says, "And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And this, of course, was after the resurrection, when he stood in the midst of those 11 who had gathered together, as they were commanded to do. Now we read here in verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now it's interesting, Samaria, the Samaritans were hated by Orthodox Jews. They were hated by most Jews. They were if you really wanted to insult a fellow Jew, you would call him a Samaritan. In fact, they said to Jesus, did not we say you're demon-possessed and you are a Samaritan? And so the Jews hated the Samaritans. They would never go anywhere near Samaria if they could help it at all. But Jesus did. He passed into their midst. Also, Galilee was considered a very ignorant portion of the part of Israel. It's way at the north end. And the Judea was at the south end. And in between the two is Samaria. And to go from Judea to Galilee or from Galilee to Judea, you would have to go around the Samaritans rather than go through it, because they didn't want to go through it. Well, Jesus did. He was in their midst. Jesus actually spent most of his ministry in that portion of Israel. Remember back in John chapter 1, verse 45 through 46, we read that Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was up there in Galilee. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, he didn't get that part right, but Philip was always bringing people to Jesus. And verse 46, Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Which, of course, was in Galilee. And Philip said unto him, Come and see. And so we have Jesus, of course, he came in the midst of them, where these other self-righteous Pharisees wouldn't have anything to do with him. And it says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, 10 men, that phrase is in the Bible 11 times, and only one time do we find it in the New Testament, and that is right here, where these 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off, and they had to. That was the law. It was a very contagious, very ugly disease. Well, they have their only hope here, verse number 13. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They lifted up their voices. Many times with the leprosy, it would attack their vocal cords, and they'd get not much more than a gargling sound out of their mouth. It must have been an awful noise to hear these 10 men gurgling and gargling and trying to get Jesus' attention. It's interesting, they called him Master. They knew who he was. And then they said, have mercy. That phrase is in the Bible 49 times. Have mercy. 33 times it's in the Old Testament. In the book of Psalms, you'll find it 12 times, and it's referring to Christians asking God for mercy. And, you know, mercy is undeserved merit, and we don't deserve anything because we're Christians. And so you'll find, as you find this phrase, have mercy, it's in the Psalms 12 times, Proverbs once, Isaiah 7 times, Jeremiah 6. It's in Ezekiel once, Hosea 4 times, Zechariah twice, Matthew is 7 times, Mark twice. In the book of Luke, it's there 4 times, and in the book of Romans, it's there 3 times. And it has to do with believers looking for mercy, Israel, Jerusalem, a blind man, lepers, a mother for her daughter, a father for his son, and then blind Bartimaeus. And that's the only time somebody's name was mentioned in this series, was Bartimaeus. And so we have the rich man that was in hell. His name is not given to us either, but he's crying for mercy. There was a certain blind man that asked for mercy, and then these 10 lepers that asked for mercy. So what did Jesus say? Well, it says here, and when he saw them, verse 14, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Three things here. Number one, he said, Go. Number two, they went. Number three, they were cleansed. What an amazing thing it must have been as they traveled to see the priest, which was the law that they had to do if they were going to be cleansed from a disease. They needed to talk to the priest. What an amazing moment it must have been when they realized that they were cleansed from this ugly, ugly disease called leprosy. It was similar in John chapter 9 where the blind man was there. And Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The same thing. Go, go. And they went and they were cleansed. It's just smart to do what Jesus says to do. Well, as you look into the New Testament, you'll find that nobody denied the miracles of Jesus, but they sure did challenge his messages. There was no challenge. The miracles were indisputable. Nobody could deny or challenge those miracles, but they constantly challenged his message. Can you imagine how stupid it would be for these men to stand there and argue with Jesus about their situation? He told them what to do. No, we want to do it our way. No, you do it his way or you don't do it any way at all. It's stupid. You know what stupid means? It means lacking intelligence or common sense. Well, we read that one of them, verse 15, that phrase is in the Bible 59 times, one of them. It's in the book of Luke 7 times, another interesting series of 7. When he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get together at all. They hated one another, but this leprosy forced them together. They didn't have any choice. Well, he's got a loud voice now. If he did have a mixed up, gargling kind of voice that was affected by leprosy, it's all fixed up now. With a loud voice, he's worshiping God. He fell at his feet. He's giving him thanks. He is openly recognizing Jesus for who he is. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger, the Samaritan? Where were the Jews? What about God's own people? Where were they? Oh, they probably went to the priest and then went to worship in an apostate temple in Jerusalem. The truth of the matter is most of what we call Christians today are going through a form of godliness in some kind of an apostate church today. And what we need is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion. The 9, well, they got what they wanted and they went on with their lifestyle. Oh, I'm sure it was a religious lifestyle. But like in the days of Noah, the Bible says that then men began to call upon the name of the Lord and the flood came and took them all away. That's exactly where we are today. A lot of religious activity going on. Very little personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, he said, where are the 9? The first question you have in the Bible, God said to Adam, he said unto Adam, where art thou? Now, that was after Adam had sinned, and he was hiding there with his wife behind some tree somewhere, and the Lord came and says, where art thou? Well, he knew where Adam was. He's God. He wanted Adam to figure out where he was. Well, we see here in verse number 19 that he said, Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Go thy way. Again, we've said, our faith, what we believe dictates how we behave. Well, your faith has made you whole. It's interesting that word whole is the same word that has been translated in Luke chapter 7, verse 50, where the woman was forgiven of her sins, and the Bible says, thy faith has saved thee. And so he said, go thy way, thy faith has saved thee. It's the same Greek word here. So not only was he healed physically, he got saved. 9 men got healed, didn't get saved at all. 1 man got saved. Once again, we have the remnant. We see it so often in the Word of God that there is simply a remnant, a small group of people, disciples who are true learners who really want to know what Jesus wants them to do. Well, be sure and tune in. We're going to look in our next broadcast at this subject about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Important, be sure and tune in. Until then, pray for us.